Well, to chat about the state of ER care in the province and more, we're joined by Dr. Paul Parks, president of the Alberta Medical Association. Paul, always appreciate you hopping on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me here. Hoping we can start talking about good stuff soon.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Because, again, it seems to me that things keep getting worse with respect to ER care in this province. The highlight that you guys have brought up there this week, something that you say isn't new, but something that just it feels like it's a conversation we're having for the first time, at least on a broader level, the idea that emergency surgeries are being not just delayed, but being diverted at hospitals here in Alberta.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, it's just another one of the symptoms. And again, why you know, we're all kind of talking about it, but why it impacts eMERJ is it's the default that if care can't get done in the system, everything backs up in the eMERJ. But diversions, I mean, to put it in perspective for Albertans and listeners, like, this is, you know, your bread and butter type of emergency surgeries. You have an appendix trouble, your gallbladder, your bowels, all those intra-abdominal surgeries that need to be done in a timely manner, or you can get really sick and it can be life-threatening. Those type of bread and butter surgeries, now we're in scenarios in Alberta where they can't be done in our major hospitals on given days. And we know ahead of time that those surgeries can't be done because we don't have the support teams to do the preoperative, the operative, and the postoperative surgical care in that hospital. And so it means long waits to see me and eMERJ to get your diagnosis, but then even longer waits to be waiting for an ambulance to come back to that eMERJ, pull it off the street so it can't take care of other emergencies, wait for it to come to eMERJ so that then we can send you to another emergency department within the city that's already really overcrowded, so you can see the surgeon there so you can get your operation there because they have a team available that can actually support the care, and that's growing, and it's a massive concern for us.
Yeah, and this is a circumstance that primarily focused talking about urban care in this case here, but I was seeing a map. Someone posted a map earlier this week on social media showing more rural hospitals that have been dealing with either staff shortages or just outright closures for periods of time this summer. So you can't even get care in some communities at emergency rooms.
Oh, absolutely. We've been raising the warning call on this for, well, this has been growing for years, honestly, but in the last kind of 8 to 10 months, we've been working with a new government and saying, listen, we really got to get going on some of these upfront funding models that will stabilize this care. Because you're right, like, when you have in a rural community now, not only is that when that facility is closed, like, for example, there's this opposing Cold Lake, Alberta's hospital eMERJ is going to be closed, as an example of many that are out there. Well, that's a big area of people that don't have care and then have long travel times to go to other emergency departments that are already overwhelmed. And then they have to go into urban centers that are already overwhelmed. And it's just growing and growing. So it just adds, you know, significant risk to Albertans because there's delays to care for travel. There's delays to care to get into the eMERJ to see specialists like myself. And then there's delays to care to get access to, in Edmonton, orthopedic care is being canceled. In Calgary, general surgery diversions are happening. Access to cancer care, when I see you and diagnose you with that in the eMERJ, it's just growing and growing. And it's beyond an emergency. We have to have the government share our urgency to act on this.
Yeah, well, you mentioned a couple elements in there that I wanted to touch on too, right? Because, part of the surgery thing, I assume, probably ties to the fact that there's a shortage of anesthesiologists here. And you mentioned cancer and a lot of conversation about oncology care, that you've got people waiting months upon months for what you would assume is emergency care.
Absolutely, and that's to see the specialist, the cancer specialist, so you can actually start your treatment. And you know, I honestly work and have been working and doing this for over 25 years, and I can still, you know, I can see if you get a new diagnosis of a cancer and I see you in eMERJ and say, hey, we're going to stabilize you, but we're going to get you to a specialist, but by the way, it might take you 3 months, 4 months. I mean, I have trouble thinking what that would feel like as someone sitting at home and worrying about what's happening, and that's growing. Those waiting times are growing and growing, and it's just impacting all all aspects of our acute care system now, and it all kind of goes down to that the workforce is a massive struggle. We have to stabilize our acute care side. We gave the government in Alberta Health, they have the plan to stabilize, where invest in some of these hospital supports for the, it's basically the teams that do the unpredictable, unscheduled after hours kind of care that we know is a proportion of the care that happens in our acute care system. And we have to act on it. We have to do this because so many pieces now are all kind of colliding, and then everything funnels back to the eMERGE, which then makes it so myself and my colleagues are really delayed to take care of strokes and heart attacks and traumas and acute care that needs to be done in minutes and not hours, kind of thing.
With the way things are going, are we going to lose lives? Are people going to die as a result of this, you think?
Absolutely, and I'm very concerned about that. And you know, you talked about your daughter and the concern you had. I want to stress, everybody in the eMERGE departments are doing, and in the hospitals and the acute care system and the healthcare system are doing our absolute best. So if you are sick, go to the emergency departments. We're going to do our best to care mm-hmm. for you, and you'll get amazing care when you get in. Our teams are amazing. It's just the access is growing. The block for access yep. is growing and growing. And yes, we do know it's having very significant outcomes, where it's really, you know, long, significant chronic disabilities because of delay. But we know of deaths as well because of the delays to access in many, many different fields, in cancer care, in access to eMERGE, in access to our surgeries. We're aware deaths are happening. Preventable deaths are happening because of the challenges on the system. So that's why, you know, we're being kind of so active in saying, listen, we need the government to partner with us and move and act on this, like, right now. Like, we can't delay any longer.
So is it money? Is it recruitment? What is it that the government really needs to do in order to reverse this really troubling trend we're seeing?
Yeah, up front, there is going to take some investment up front, no question. So some of the access in the rural eMERGE departments relates to actually having family medicine physicians in those communities. So we have to get our family medicine funding plan out. Acute care side, where these delays to cancer care and surgery, it absolutely needs upfront investment in stabilizing the workforce that's doing that hard after hours work, so that we don't lose more of that staff. And then it creates an environment where we're competitive and can recruit new people into those environments. And we've given the government both those plans. They've been listening and working with us. It's stuck in Alberta Health, and it's going to take investment up front so that we save not just, you know, money down the road, but we save lives down the road. And that's where I think now all these pieces, it's like dominoes, as the stressors, as one falls, as another one falls, mm-hmm. as we try to shift, you know, poking our fingers in the holes in the dam, and as we move our fingers around, it just gets worse and worse. And so, yeah, it will take an investment up front, and government's aware of that, and we need them to do that now. And then that'll buy us time to stabilize and allow us to change some of the pieces that haven't been changed in a long, long time.
Yeah, and certainly, again, I don't take issue with the staff. I have all the confidence in the staff itself. It's just the system where, you know, the way that those dominoes have fallen in the wrong way, they were my confidence has waned, I think, over the course of the last few years here. Paul, always a pleasure having you on the show. And as you said off the top, I look very forward to it's kind of becoming our mantra. It's like, I can't wait to talk to you about something positive.
Yeah, I'm really hoping it's coming soon. I hope we can get some announcements down beside government and say, hey, we know this is critical. Let's invest in this. Let's work in this up front, and let's get moving forward in a positive direction for sure.
Awesome. Well, I'm not awesome on that, but awesome that we are at least thinking about heading in the right direction. Appreciate it once again, Paul.
Okay, thanks.
There you go. That's Dr. Paul Parks, president of the Alberta Medical Association, sounding the alarm yet again, this time largely around what we're seeing in terms of emergency surgeries being delayed and diverted at times in the province, and essentially not being treated in a timely fashion. We're talking about emergency surgery. It's in the name, emergency. It means it needs to be done ASAP, pronto, and it's not. So obviously something has to give on that front.